Today on The Journey.
So Ellen, I want to talk to a mom and a dad. They just got an email from their young adult. And the email says, "Mom and Dad, after struggling with this issue for a long time, I've come to the conclusion that I'm gay."
When faced with the unwise sexual choices of our children, how do we respond in a loving and truthful way? In this broadcast, Ron Moore welcomes special guest Ellen Dykus of Harvest USA to talk about keeping the lines of communication open while affirming a biblical view of sexual behavior. Before that, a quick word about our premium offer titled A Biblically Managed Life. It's a seven-step quest for a fulfilling life guided by God's Word, and it's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Listen for the details later in the program. Now here's Ron to introduce his guest for part two of their discussion, Sanctifying Sexual Desire in Women, on The Journey.
Welcome to The Journey, and I'm here today with Ellen Dykus. Ellen is with Harvest USA Ministries. Ellen, it's great to have you on The Journey today.
Thanks, Ron. It's really wonderful to be here.
Ellen, talk about social media and how it maybe has drawn individuals who have a romantic inclination to the same sex even further along in that inclination.
I think social media has just allowed the spread of messages to be that much easier and fast and convincing, in the sense of, you know, what is Facebook for many people? It's a place to give updates on what's happening in your life. It's also a place where you can really be looking in on the lives of other people, and it's a place to promote your convictions. And so I think it was maybe a year or so ago where all of the pro same-sex marriage symbols were showing up on people's pages or as their profile picture. And that was spreading a message. And probably for many people, it became something like, wow, do I like this or do I just ignore it? Because that in and of itself could send a message. And so I think social media has unfortunately helped to make, I would say, the preaching of certain messages be that much easier to reach a large audience. And I want to give you a quick example, Ron, of a woman that I got to know over a year ago, a dear Christian woman. She was married. She's got three young children and new Christian. She'd grown up in a church, but it was not a Bible-centered church. But she's a young woman who wrestled with the temptations towards the same sex. She had had a couple of relationships with women, but in the context actually of this church, she'd met a man, they'd gotten married, and yet these underlying desires, as well as a pretty life-dominating fantasy life towards women, brought her here to Harvest USA. And here's what she said to me one time that was so disheartening for me. She said, "Ellen, you know what, one of the things that has been the hardest for me is that I'm trying to walk towards Jesus. I want to build my marriage. I want to grow in faithfulness to my husband. But you know what's hard for me is that I get on Facebook and it's so many of the Christians I know who are getting on there and putting up this pro-gay stuff, giving likes or giving a shout out to different things that are basically promoting homosexuality." And so here's a Christian sister who, for her, social media, through brothers and sisters in the faith, was actually one of the places that was causing internal turmoil, because what she was seeking to battle against, Christians through social media were actually saying the opposite of what she was seeking to do in obedience.
Ellen, I was thinking, while we're talking about a younger person dealing on the front end of sexual temptation, let's fast forward this thing 25 years. Let's think of a person who gave in to those struggles, who has a partner and was with that partner for years, but now God has gotten a hold of their life and they come to you. What are some of the things they are now feeling? What are the things they've struggled with? What would they go back and say, man, here's some parts of the lifestyle that no one talks about?
I want your listeners to know that this is not rehearsed or set up, because what you've just asked me so describes a woman I've gotten to know just in the last couple of years. Again, Christian woman from a young age, grew up in the church, was active in youth ministry, I think as a younger person, but also as an adult, active in the worship ministry. Let's just call her Kate. And she had a pretty traumatic background as far as sexual abuse. And Kate had these desires, leanings towards other girls. The fact of abuse coming through boys and men was one of the influences that honestly helped her to think that women were a lot safer, a lot more desirable than men would be. But she never pursued it necessarily. It wasn't until she was actually a young adult and in the youth ministry, she met a married woman who was also a youth leader. It was actually many years later, they reconnected, and Kate found out that this woman had divorced her youth leader, pastor husband, because she felt she was a lesbian. And at that point, probably around when they were 30 years old, Kate and this woman began a relationship. When Kate came to me, it was 23 years later. So she's in her young 50s at this point. And you think about courageous faith and walking in bold repentance. These two women had a household together. They had raised children together. They didn't bring any children into their relationship on their own, but the one woman, I think, had maybe a child or two from her marriage, and Kate actually had a child outside of marriage. They had what would look like a marriage relationship, a family, for all those years. But here's what Kate said, that over all those years, she knew that what she was living in was not pleasing to God. But she didn't know how to get out of it. And she said that she actually had more than a few conversations with pastors, and she'd never really heard much words of help. But here's how the Lord got a hold of her. She said that it was kind of one of those Holy Spirit intervening moments where she just sat up one day in the morning, and it was as if the Holy Spirit was just leaning on her, saying to her, it's time for this to be done. So, you know, you think about Jenny, the married woman I just mentioned, who's in her late 20s, and this woman, Kate, all very, very different scenarios with a common temptation struggle and with a completely similar heart issue of they need to surrender to Christ, not only for his healing and comfort, but for his correction and for them to walk in repentance. But it's going to look really different for each one of those women. And for this woman, Kate, she's doing well, but it's been a long season of grieving and letting go. But Kate has remained resolved to follow Christ.
So, Ellen, I wanted to talk to a mom and a dad, and they just got an email from they're a young adult, just graduated from college, let's say, and the email says, Mom and Dad, I can't tell you how much I love you, and I want you to know that after struggling with this issue for a long time, I've come to the conclusion that I'm gay. I'm going to be coming home this weekend, and I want to sit down and talk with you about this and hear your feelings on it and just let you know where I am, and I want to know where you are on this. They're sitting before you now, and they're saying, in 2 days, I'm going to meet with my daughter. Give me some counsel.
Yeah, well, first, I'm going to just seek to hear that parent's heart, who I'm going to assume has emotions flying all over the place, from confusion, anger, fear, grief. So for that parent, first, I want to say to you that Christ loves you and has comfort for you, and he is going to carry you through this. What I would say then for that parent is they want to do whatever they can do to keep the communication lines open and to continue to move towards that son or daughter in relationship. oftentimes when a son or daughter walks that path that you've just described, and then we hear that exact scenario so many times, the parent generally easily responds with disbelief, which is going to be combined with grief, fear, anger, and they want to try to figure it out. They want to try to change it. They want to try to persuade that son or daughter that this is wrong, this is sin. I'll just kind of add this as a parenthesis. It's very important for parents to know what are their beliefs about this, because that's what's going to lead to the different ways of response. But I want to coach parents, this is an opportunity for you, even though it is painful, gut-wrenching, and costly, to show your son or daughter love and to get to know them in a pretty important area that has just now come at you like a shock. And what I mean by that, Ron, is that oftentimes when a parent calls in the exact situation that you've just described, generally the parent is going to tell me that my 17-year-old, my 20-year-old, they've just told me they felt this way since they were 10, and now they're coming out to us. Well, the fact that that son or daughter is just now expressing this, that means that there's probably a pretty significant part of that child's history that the parent has had no idea about. And that's one of the places I'm going to encourage that parent is, your son or daughter has just revealed something to you that they've kept from you for probably a variety of reasons. And so that's one of the things when she or he comes home this weekend is for you to say, you know what, Susie, Jeff, you know, what you just shared with us was so out of the blue. We're reeling, but we want to know you in this. And I don't know if we'll be able to talk about it this weekend, but at some point, we'd really like to hear, how have you come to understand this about yourself? That's really the starting point, Ron, because then a parent is going to know, what are they thinking about themselves? For how long have they been thinking this? Where are they really at in their faith? And that's not to say that they might not have a sincere faith, but something has gotten off track there.
Right. So, Ellen, let's take that and let's fast forward it. A year goes by, and another email comes and says, Mom, Dad, love you. I'm coming home for Christmas, and I'm bringing my partner with me. Is that going to be okay with you? So what do you do now? How do you continue to demonstrate acceptance and the approval of the person without the approval of the actions? That's a tough one.
Yeah, it is tough, but it's an excellent question because it is a scenario that is happening more and more. Let me offer a few thoughts on that. But before I do, I do want to just mention, as I said, it's a part of our mission to want to equip the church. We are seeking to write and produce more and more resources that are giving what we hope is biblical wisdom for this. And so we do have several mini booklets out that specifically talk about these things. When that son or daughter is making that step, there's going to be, I think, some issues that are black and white and that are non-negotiable. And then there's going to be others that are, I think it's going to be a wisdom issue and a conscience issue that may vary from parent to parent. What do I mean by that? Well, let's just use the example of a young woman. That young woman says, Mom and Dad, I know you know that I've been dating this woman, and you've invited me to come home for Christmas, as I always have, but I want to bring her with me. What do you think about that? In some ways, the way a parent needs to think about that is, how would that parent respond if their daughter was in a relationship that they knew was ungodly with a man, and that daughter said, I want to bring Joe home? As with any unmarried couple, of course they wouldn't be sleeping in the same room. There's going to be those godly principles in place. Here would be the principles that I would want to guide those parents. The parents need to know what are their convictions on this issue in general. They need to know before the Lord, how can they move towards their son or daughter relationally, taking that initiative through Christ. But two other things that I think are really important, there are going to be some differences if this is a believer or a non-believer. A non-believing son or daughter, you would expect them to be living out how non-believers do. With a believer, who is involved in a homosexual relationship, the way that parent would address it, I think, is going to be different, obviously, because this is a believer in a sinful relationship. The last principle is that it's very important for a parent to be able to know that they have clearly, graciously, and biblically communicated their stance to that son or daughter. It's not something that needs to be talked about every time they're on the phone or every time they talk, but the parent needs to have, in a sense, put that stake in the ground, I would say, as a part of their allegiance to Christ, and also as a way to love that child by being firm in what God has said. Hopefully that makes sense.
That does, Ellen, and I appreciate what you say about parents needing to know where they stand on this.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
It's not waiting until you get the email. It's expressing that to your children and teaching them God's word early on and throughout their lives. And not just teaching, but demonstrating a healthy marriage relationship and a mom having a healthy relationship with her kids and a dad having a healthy relationship with their kids. We talk about mentoring and modeling, and you teach, but you also have to show it. So I think your point is so well taken. Ellen, talk a little bit about pornography among women. I know with men, it's extremely high, but it seems that pornography with the internet in the area, particularly of homosexuality, it seems like there is a larger struggle with women than has been in the past. Are you seeing that?
I don't really see a particular focus or trend, I would say, either with women related to homosexuality or heterosexual sins connect to a pornography struggle. But I will say this, is that certain types of pornography, including what is known as erotica, erotic literature, which is basically pornography in word, different genres of that can definitely provoke a woman towards certain types of sexual sin. And that may be homosexual oriented, it may be towards men, or it may be in a variety, a host of other deviant behaviors. If your listeners aren't familiar at all with CovenantEyes.com, that is a fabulous website-based ministry that also has a blog. And they have so many articles and resources related to marriages impacted by porn, women strugglers, men, children. I would encourage your listeners to get on there.
You're listening to The Journey. I'm speaking with Ellen Dykus from Harvest USA. And Ellen, talk to wives who are married to men struggling with pornography.
Yeah. First, I would say that this is such a staggering problem that is impacting so many Christian marriages. So with a woman in that situation, sister, I want you to know that you are not alone. Christ knows your pain, the intense heartache that you are in the midst of, being disillusioned with what you thought marriage was going to be. The Lord is very tender towards you in this, and you are not the cause of your husband's sin. But the Lord also has journey companions for you. And I know that that is very terrifying to think about going to anybody for help because it outs your husband. But I want to encourage you, pray and ask, Lord, who is a safe, trustworthy person that I can share my heart with on this and ask for help and counsel and to pray with me? You want to look for somebody who is a person of integrity, a person who has a track record of not gossiping, and somebody who is hopefully grounded in the Word. I would love if this is your pastor. I would love if this is an elder or another ministry leader in your life, but if there's not somebody there like that, then again, pray and ask the Holy Spirit to put somebody on your heart and mind. If you've not confronted your husband on this, that is a step that you need to take. I know that that feels scary. It makes it even more real. But you do need to go to your husband. If your husband is a Christian man who is saying to you, well, this is what all Christian men do, he's believing a lie because this isn't what Christ has called him to. And so you need to get help outside of your marriage for your marriage. Ultimately, the Lord, but also with some trusted others. You can call me if you want, and I will try to connect you with perhaps somebody in your area but you need to step out and reach out for help. And I will say that we have a couple of resources, a book and then a mini booklet with the same title, When Your Husband is Addicted to Pornography. Mm-hmm. And that would be a good start point for you to get one of those two and just begin to process your experience.
Well, and that's tremendous counsel. And we so appreciate you being with us today on the journey and the insight regarding those who are struggling with sexual identity. And what I'd ask you to do as we wrap this up, Ellen, is there's an individual listening who's just really struggling. They're a believer. They know that their feelings for the same sex is not in line with God's word, and yet their emotions are leaning that way. They're just really being tempted in this area. Speak to that woman.
Well, the possible thoughts to offer to somebody in that are obviously so vast and deep. Here's what comes to mind. And again, I'm just going to speak to the woman, speak to the sister who is in that exact situation. And I would say to you, again, Christ is with you in this, which is one of your personal Gethsemanes, where the Lord is calling you to trust in Him and to surrender to His will for your life by faith. And that is going to mean that you do not pursue those desires. In the place of that, the Lord promises to give you Himself. And the Word says that He endured every possible temptation. He is sympathetic towards you. He is not waving a judgmental finger at you. He is tender towards you. And He is calling you, come to Me and trust yourself to Me. It is through surrendering to My purposes, even in this trial and temptation, it is in the surrender that you're going to experience that closeness with Me. And the other thing I want to say to you, sister, is I want to encourage you to think of Colossians 3, 1, 2, 4, where Paul encourages the Colossians, what we all need, set your heart and mind on things above. You may be 20 years old, you may be 60 years old, and maybe no one knows this. The Lord calls all of us, set your heart on things above where Christ is seated. And you've got to have that long view of faith, knowing that this earthly life, Scripture calls it a mist. Our temptations and trials, one day it's going to be gone, and we'll see it for what it is. It was a mist. And there will be so much glory that will come to Christ as you, sister, day by day, say, Lord, I'm battling. I'm lonely. I'm struggling. But I'm going to set my heart on You. I'm going to cry out to You, Lord. Would You please encourage me? Would You please help me to believe that You are in the midst of this struggle with me? And would You please continue to provide rich relationships for me that are honoring to You and are for my good.
Amen. Ellen, thank you so much for joining us on the journey.
Thank you, Ron. I really appreciate your desire to even talk about these things on your show. Thank you so much.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. What does a biblically managed life look like, and how can you experience it? Ron Moore takes you on that spiritual journey in his booklet titled, A Biblically Managed Life. In its pages, you'll discover an eternal perspective that informs 7 days of life-altering challenges from Scripture. Things like how you can invest God's gifts of time and resources, living with a spiritual mind, and the influence you can have in this world. A Biblically Managed Life is yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a preview of our next broadcast.
We're going to take all our confusion, and we're going to take all our fears, and we're going to take all our questions and our anxiety and our loneliness, the feeling of being overwhelmed, and we're going to anchor them in Jesus, the anchor of our soul.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. Also, please remember to order your copy of A Biblically Managed Life. It's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. That's ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. 724-731-2018. We also invite you to have a look at our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is biblechapel.org, biblechapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.